Welcome to Meet the Majors podcast series brought to you by Baylor University's Department of Career Counseling. During each episode, a faculty representative will highlight some of the academic features and career opportunities of their respective undergraduate major area. I'm Aaron Baggett, and we're joined today by Dr. Charles Weaver, Professor of Psychology and Neuroscience. Welcome, Dr. Weaver.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Tell us about the unique features that this program offers to students.
Well, the neuroscience major is a study in the relationship between the brain and behavior. We are housed in the Department of Psychology and Neuroscience. Psychology majors tend to be more interested in clinically related questions. We tend to be more related in laboratory-based questions and exactly what it is that changes the brain after we learn something, things along those lines. It's a major that incorporates pretty much the pre-med curriculum, plus all of the lab courses that are in our department.
What types of students would you say might find themselves being a good fit in your major?
It is a science-heavy major. We have requirements in chemistry, in physics. In fact, it is essentially the pre-med curriculum. But the concentration is not in biology or chemistry. It's in the relationship, again, between the brain and behavior. So students that have an interest in pre-med type careers or are interested in the science of behavior tend to be drawn to the major.
Okay. What are some of the skills that students in your program might develop through their coursework?
We are very much a laboratory-based discipline. Many of our better students will end up working with one of the faculty members on their own research projects. We direct, six, eight, 10 different honors theses in a given year, where students will either do laboratory work or sometimes do library work and write a significant 40, 50, 60-page thesis. So we try to develop not just the laboratory skills, but also their writing skills.
You mentioned the opportunities students have to assist faculty with their research. What are some examples of some of that research?
We have research that goes all the way from cellular-based research. We have one faculty member, Dr. Brad Keel, who looks at changes at the single neuron level with respect to individuals, or in his case, in animals that are exposed to stressful or emotional situations. And then the gamut runs all the way to the type of research that I do. I am a memory researcher, but I don't do brain-based research. I do behaviorally-based research. Students working in my lab might work on projects involving, say, eyewitness testimony, or the relationship between an individual's subjective competence and their accuracy. So more than many disciplines, we have a huge range of activities.
If students don't declare this major prior to starting their freshman year, is it still possible for them to graduate in 4 years?
It is. It's a dense curriculum, and I would think the modal student probably takes a summer in addition to the 4 years. But especially if a student starts off pre-med but decides later that they don't want to pursue a medical career, then they've got a number of those prerequisites out of the way. Mm-hmm. It's certainly possible to complete the program in 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Are there particular licenses or certifications required, say, if a student doesn't go to med school, changes their mind, needed to sort of practice in the field?
That would be more of a clinically related program. There are no licenses for neuroscientists. If they did have clinical interests, and we do have many students that do that, then that would involve a graduate degree and then some kind of certification beyond that, licensing typically. Mm-hmm. But that's done following a master's degree, not following a bachelor's degree.
How can students best prepare for careers related to this major?
There are very few high school programs that have anything related to a neuroscience curriculum. A psychology course at high school is not uncommon, and that would certainly help. But probably the single most important thing that the students could do to prepare as high school students would be to take just as many science courses as their school allows. Again, our major requires physics, chemistry, biology, in addition to neuroscience. And the more experience that students have had with those science-related courses, the better off they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Not uncommon, though, for students to gain virtually all their experience once they come to college.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the biggest misconceptions about your field?
They probably have to do with the relationship between the name neuroscience and the medical fields like neurology or even neurosurgery. Neurology is the application of many of the concepts that we teach, but we don't offer coursework in neurology. That's offered at medical school. Mm-hmm. The neurosurgery that's done is done exclusively, at Baylor at least, on laboratory animals. It certainly wouldn't be ethical to get freshmen to volunteer to have their brains altered. So students that have an interest in neurology often drift to our major. But in terms of getting medically related course material, that's done at the medical school level.
What are some job titles and employers of graduates of your program?
We have really three different tracks that students typically follow. The most common probably is the pre-med route. We have almost 200 majors now, which is an astonishing number. My guess would be we are the second most popular pre-med major on campus. I don't know that for sure, but I can't imagine that any other field would have more than 200 other than biology. So about a third of the students that we see do go on to medical careers. We have about a third that go on to professional careers related to academic type research in psychology or neuroscience. Many of our students are exceptional students, don't want to pursue a career in medicine, but they do want to pursue a career in teaching and research. And then the other third do any one of a number of things. We've had almost all of those go straight into the workforce. They'll work as representatives for drug companies. Some of them with good laboratory skills are hired to do laboratory work for some of the pharmaceutical companies. We have former students of ours that are working on the next generation of antidepressants or might be working on the next generation of drugs to treat schizophrenia. The exceptional student that develops those lab skills is going to have any one of a number of job opportunities waiting for them.
Well, are there particular areas of the country where more jobs are available?
This tends to be one of those disciplines where you go where the jobs in that particular year happen to be. If you're an accountant, you can move to any city in the country and find an accounting job. If you want to work as a neuroscientist, you find the 8 or 10 or 20 jobs that might be open in the country, and you move there. It's really not the kind of job where you can say, I'll move to Seattle because I want to live there, and then I'll find a job. The research is so specialized that typically we have to go where the jobs are. And in any given year, that may change. It's usually the bigger metropolitan cities, the cities that have larger hospitals, that have larger medical schools, or that have drug research capabilities.
Is there any final advice you'd like to offer to students who may be listening to this podcast?
I would tell them that if it sounds like an interesting major, it really is. One of the nice things about our department is how broad our interests are and how broad the students' interests are. To be very frank, when the major was first proposed 10 or 12 years ago, the coursework is sufficiently rigorous that I wondered if we would ever attract a significant number of students. The fact that we've now got 200 neuroscience majors, I think, is a testament to the intrinsic interest in the field and also, to some extent, the degree to which we do prepare people for success later on.
I'd like to thank our guest today, Dr. Weaver, for joining us, and thank you for listening to this edition of Baylor Career Counseling's Meet the Majors podcast.